Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
As a child, I had a pretty awesome imagination. Pretty awesome imagination. As a matter of fact, I had such a great imagination that my sisters would make fun of me because I was just so good at imagining things. I was so good at entertaining myself. I could, you know, kind of go away for hours and just use my imagination to play and to entertain myself. I could turn a stick into a laser pistol. Pew, 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 pew. I had to find the right stick. I'd find the right stick and I would cherish it and I would keep it for days and I would be Luke Skywalker, you know? And I would be shooting stormtroopers all the time. I loved my mom and dad's basement in their house has a concrete slab floor and it's sectioned off in squares. And I would take, Bill, as a little boy, I would take Hot Wheels. You know Hot Wheels, the little cars, right? I had hundreds of little cars. Hundreds of little cars. And we would I would, in my mind, create cities on the floor in the basement. And those seams of the concrete blocks would be the roads. They would be, you know, it's kind of like Phoenix. You know, it would just be a big block of squares forever and ever and ever. And the poles that would raise up to hold the house up, I would pretend that those were skyscrapers. Big buildings that people would live in. And I could spend hours using my imagination because guess what? That's what kids do. Children are really good at using their imagination. And as we grow up, we lose a little bit of that, don't we? We lose our ability to imagine because as we grow up and we become adult, we become more practical. We become more realistic. Quit dreaming. Remember Joseph, the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? Joseph the dreamer. Quit dreaming. Through the hard knocks of life, you know, we grow up and we go out and we live and we get punched and we get battered by the hard knocks of life. Things happen and our sense of imagination, it gets whittled down into nothing. It just gets whittled down to almost nothing at all. And today, I want to begin a little bit of a journey over the next couple of months. We're going to be looking into the future, and I want to take a few moments today to start us off on this journey together. I'm really glad that you're here. This is a really important Sunday, and I'm really glad you're gathered out there online. And if you're not able to make it or have somebody who's not able to make it, make sure they watch this service or listen to the podcast later, because this is the beginning of the next chapter. This is the beginning of what's next, I believe, for Maplewood. It's got to start somewhere, right? We've been through a historic pandemic. We've done all sorts of crazy things over the past couple of years, but we're coming out of that season, and we're moving back into whatever the new sense of normality actually is. And I want to take a few moments as we kind of start changing over into this new chapter to talk about regaining our sense of imagination. I want you to think about how much of an imagination you have these days. And sometimes my imagination runs wild at 3 o'clock in the morning and it goes to the darkest places when I wake up in the middle of the night. I'm not talking about that kind of imagination. I'm talking about using our imagination with regard to what God can do and wants to do in Maplewood through the Maplewood Faith Family in the days to come. All right? So I really do believe that God is calling each of us. God is calling each of us to do more than we could ever imagine in our own mind, in and through the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen. I really, really believe about this. I'm not talking about make-believe, and I'm not talking about the dark thoughts you have at 3 o'clock in the morning when you've got a piece of pepperoni stuck in your stomach and it's causing you to go a little nuts. I'm talking about becoming and accomplishing much more than what we could ever conceive in our minds, and doing it together as a church family. God wants to transform us, but He doesn't want to take us off into a little closet and do it. He wants to transform us as we act together in faith as a church family. And my question this morning is, do you really believe that God intends for us to accomplish the unimaginable at Maplewood in the days to come. Do you believe that? Some of you do. Some of you are like, I'm not really sure about this pastor. I really believe that God intends for us to accomplish things we never would be able to imagine as a church in the days and the weeks and the months ahead. I truly believe that with all of my heart. The Apostle Paul, he wrote about this. He wrote about this whole notion of the unimaginable. That's the name of this morning's message, unimaginable. He wrote about the unimaginable in his letter to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church. And if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 3, that's where we're going to be spending some time in Scripture this morning. In Ephesians chapter 3, we'll start at verse 16. It's really easy, 3:16. Mark that in your mind, just like John 3:16. Ephesians 3:16, going to be a critical passage for us in the days to come. He's praying for that local church in this letter. He's writing a letter to them, and he's praying for their future in this letter that he's writing to them in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. And he says, I pray, he's praying for them, I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I pray that he will strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Faith. Mark that. Through faith. And I pray, he's praying, still praying here for him, I pray that you, church, being rooted and established in the love of Jesus Christ, may have power together with all of the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know, and I pray that you know that this love of Jesus Christ that surpasses knowledge, it's a love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, and he's praying still, he's wrapping up his prayer. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us already, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord this morning. Paul was praying for the future of the Ephesians church, of the Ephesian church at this time. Just a very young church, just a very fledgling church. And he was praying very specifically that God would do something in and through this people in the Ephesian church that would blow their mind. He's praying that God would do the unimaginable, the unthinkable through this church. He's praying that God would use that group of people, that small group of people. We read about the formation of the Ephesians church in the book of Acts, and so we have a little bit of insight into who those people are. He's praying that God would use that group of people to make an unimaginable difference for the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Do you see what's going on there? He is praying for their future. He's praying that the Ephesian church would capture its spiritual sense of imagination, its kingdom sense of imagination. This was a church started from scratch in a community that was dominated by idol worship. The community of Ephesus was a commercial hub in the middle of Greece and Asia at that time, right in the middle of the world. A lot of people came there. It was a great community. There were a lot of businesses downtown. There was a great temple dedicated to the Greek god, goddess Artemis, Diana. Huge temple that was built in this community. Streets of marble. I mean, this was a beautiful town. You'd walk downtown in Ephesus, and instead of it being a little beat up and old, kind of like some of our communities today are in the middle of Ohio, colonnades, these pillars, marble pillars, stores, markets, lots of activity, lots of economic activity. The Temple of Diana, the Temple of Artemis. I mean, the biggest, think of the biggest church in town, okay? Think about the biggest religious center in town. In Ephesus, it was not a Christian church. They didn't have a hip worship team. They didn't have the lights and the dazzle that the big churches have. It was a temple erected for a foreign god, the god of fertility, Artemis, Diana. And that temple was so beautiful. The people of this community had such an imagination. They built this beautiful temple that in Ephesus, of all places, in this community where this church is planted, one of the ancient seven wonders of the world. People came from all over. Ephesus was a tourist attraction. It was one of the seven ancient wonders of the world, the Temple of Artemis, the Temple of Diana. That's the community in which this church is planted, that Paul is praying for. Paul's praying that the Ephesian church would be willing to make an unimaginable impact when it seemed like all of the odds are stacked against them. There's idol worship, there's commercialism, everybody's living their life. Nobody even knows that they have a spiritual need around them. Does that sound a little familiar? Nobody's even aware that they have a spiritual need. And Paul's praying that this church would be willing to step outside of their comfort zone and give God permission to move in their lives in an outsized way. That's this prayer that's being preached. What would it look like, Maplewood? What would it look like if you and I stepped outside of our comfort zone and allowed God, give God permission to move in an outsized way? What would that look like? What would that look like? Use your imagination. Use your spiritual imagination. You're not down in the basement of my mom and dad's house playing with Hot Wheels right now. We're imagining what in the world could God do if his people, if a small group of people, if just a small group of people were willing to step outside of their comfort zone and give God permission to move. What would that look like? So over the next several weeks, we're going to be thinking about and focusing on, if you missed it this morning, don't worry, because we're going to be hammering away at this. We're going to be chipping away at what it would look like if we were to do this over the next couple of weeks, reviewing how this plays out in Scripture. Because you see, when you and I, when we are willing to get uncomfortable, are you willing to get uncomfortable? Are you really willing to get uncomfortable? When we're willing to get uncomfortable and give God permission to move unimpeded and just do what he says, I'm telling you, incredible things are going to happen. Right. Things you could never have thought of. Things you never could have thought of will start to happen. As we move into Maplewood's next chapter together, folks, we are in this together. We are a church family. I really believe that our best days are ahead of us and not behind us. I really believe that God wants to do something in and through this particular people. And as we move into this next chapter together, I really get a sense that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 is a verse that the Lord really wants us to hinge our attention on in the days and the weeks and the months ahead. And I really want to paraphrase it for you this morning so that you can kind of start getting it ingrained in your mind. Ephesians 4, 20, God, our Father in heaven, God, our Father in heaven, is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. All right? Yeah. Let that soak in just a little bit. I just put the soap on the dirty car. We're going to let it penetrate the dirt just a little bit here for a couple minutes, okay? God, our Father, is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Is it sinking in just a little bit? God, your heavenly Father, is able to do immeasurably more than all you can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within you already. His power is at work within you already. Do you believe that this morning? Is the power of Jesus Christ at work within you already this morning? Do you believe in him as your Savior? His power is already at work within you. Our Heavenly Father, he wants to work in and through his children. He wants to work through us. He wants to build the kingdom through us. And if you identify as a child of the King this morning, this is for you. Are you a child of the King?
Amen.
If you say yes, then Ephesians 4:20 applies directly to you. If you call yourself a child of the King, God is able to do immeasurably more than all that you could ask or imagine according to his power that is already working within you. It's already in there. It's already kind of percolating. You know, I talked about the pepperoni going on in my stomach earlier, and you get all the juices, the digestive juices working in it. It's already in there. And the spiritual juices are already at work within your soul, stirring and working. If you call Jesus your Savior. And if you've still got sin in you, his Spirit will give you spiritual indigestion. You're not going to feel good until you do something about it. Until you apply more of the blood of Jesus into your lives and give God more permission to work in your life. You see, I really believe that if you have decided to follow Jesus and aren't living into this truth, you're missing out on your full potential. If you're just kind of sitting back and just kind of coasting, sliding back into your old lifestyle, oh, I have trouble with these temptations, Pastor, I can't do it. If you just kind of coast in and neutral, you can't live up to your full potential, spiritually speaking. I'm here to tell you, church, this morning, God wants to do more than you could ever think or imagine according to his power that is already at work in you. You may not be perfect. Amen?
Amen.
I am so far short of being anything close to perfect, Pastor. You don't have to be. You don't have to be. You just have to let his power continue to work in your heart and in your soul. We just have to learn how to unleash that potential. We have to learn how to allow the Holy Spirit to be unleashed in our lives by becoming willing to step out of our comfort zone and giving God permission to move. Are you willing to be unleashed for Jesus?
Amen.
Some of you are. Some of you are just kind of like, I'm still not sure, Pastor. You're asking a heavy question there. That's okay. I'll meet you where you're at this morning, okay? I'll meet you. It's scary. It's really scary. Some of us are ready to go, but some of us are a little hesitant. I'll be really honest with you. I'm your pastor, even me. I get a little hesitant when it comes to jumping in. Hold your nose, jump in, and hopefully there's water there, right? I get a little hesitant myself, just to be really honest. I am just like you. I'm a human. I'm not perfect. I'm on my own journey. But what does it mean to let God move? What does it mean, Pastor, to unleash the Spirit in my life? What does that look like? What's that gonna look like in my life? And I really think all of those are really legitimate questions for you who may be just kind of sitting there a little hesitant this morning to follow along and buy into what I'm preaching. It's legit. I think it's human nature. All legitimate questions. But a big chunk of this, I'm just really going to tell you, a big chunk of it's just open-ended. It's undefined. Letting God move in our lives is undefined. We have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And it takes a childlike step of faith to let the Spirit lead. It takes a childlike step of faith. Even in us adults who've grown up and have become realistic and who've become practical and mature. Pat little Joey Case on his head and set him down. It's hard. It's hard to move into the open-ended future allowing the Holy Spirit to lead. I don't like open-ended questions. I would rather multiple choice and pick one. I don't want to have to write a paragraph down. Oh, I've gone to the doctor 6 or 7 times over the past couple of weeks to get diagnoses on my neck and my arm and all this stuff. And every time I got to fill out a form, you know, and I'm like, come on, can't you just fill it out once? I don't like the open-ended questions on the forms because it's like it takes a lot of time and energy to write those answers. I like concrete direction. I don't know about you, but you give me a task and you leave it open-ended, and it kind of freaks me out a little bit. I like to determine what's the goal, what's the objective, what's it supposed to look like. Give me directions on how to accomplish the task. I don't like open-ended, well, you just go ahead and figure it out yourself. Makes me uncomfortable. makes me uncomfortable. I prefer to know what the finished product looks like before I even get started. That's my preference. Anybody else like that? You just kind of like to know where you're going? I think that's why we love YouTube and we love Pinterest and we love all these different things that show us what it looks like and then how to do it. Do it yourself. Do it yourself. We like that sense of direction. We like that sense of destination. As a matter of fact, I think our souls prefer that sense of concrete definition as to where we're heading. Ambiguity. I don't know about you. Ambiguity makes me uncomfortable. In my workplace, we actually call her ambiguity. She's a person who works with us. Make-believe person. Use your imagination, church. Amber, when things get muddy, we say, well, let's invite ambiguity to the meeting. Yeah, Amber sometimes shows up all by herself. Makes me uncomfortable when ambiguity shows up. I think it's very human if you're just kind of sitting there on the precipice this morning. What are you talking about, Pastor? But God is calling us out of our comfort zone, folks.
Amen.
If you're going to follow Jesus, if you're in on this, He's calling you out of your comfort zone. He's calling us out of our comfort zone, and He's calling us to step into the messiness of the unknown. I don't know where this is going to go. He's calling us to step out in faith. And what I found, amazingly, is when we do step out in faith, even into the ambiguity, God starts doing things beyond my wildest imagination. He starts doing things that blow my mind. I got to experience this firsthand with Pastor Ed and Melissa a couple weeks ago now. We did Revive Ohio training. And by the way, there's a come and see opportunity at High Street Church of the Nazarene tonight, 6:30. 6:30, you should go. Go find out what's going on with Revive Ohio. Okay? Dexter's going to Revive Ohio, so Sunday school's meeting at High Street tonight. But we were in a training for Revive Ohio, and there's an emphasis coming at the beginning of August here in a couple of weeks that we need to be in prayer about. We need to be thinking about how we can step out of our comfort zone and get engaged in. But at this training, they sent us out. They sent us out to simply follow the leading of the Spirit, right? They're just like, hey, hit the streets. There's probably 60, 70 people there. They split us up into groups, and they just sent us out into Springfield. And they said, go where the Spirit leads you. Go where the Spirit leads you and go to listen, not to talk, not to preach. Go to love, go to discern needs, and just go to pray and make connections with people. Now, I have zero issues getting in front of you and speaking like this every Sunday morning. Doesn't make me sweat. I could ad lib it if I wanted to, but I love you enough to prepare as your pastor a message. I could speak in front of 10,000 people and it wouldn't scare me. As a matter of fact, I've done it before. Just not a big deal for me. For some, it would petrify, right? For me, it's just I can do it. It's just ingrained in me. And Pat says, yeah. But for the guy who could stand up in front of 10,000 people, going out with four strangers who I never knew before, to go follow the Spirit on the streets of Springfield made me just a little uncomfortable. Made me just a little bit uncomfortable. It pushed me out of my comfort zone. But you know what? The Spirit moved on that Saturday morning. As we were kind of going out, it helped me make some personal connections with some people in the Revive Ohio movement, which was really cool. And I don't know where God is going to go with those connections that were made that Saturday morning, but I'm trying to follow as I perceive that the Spirit is leading. And I'll just tell you a little bit of a story of what happened that Saturday morning for me. Our group was driving up Burnett, and we were thinking, where does the Spirit want us to go? We were just in the car. I was in a stranger's car. Who does that? Never met these people before. Till 20 minutes earlier, and we're driving south on Burnett looking for the leading of the Holy Spirit to guide us. And we come across the low-income towers here on Burnett, and there's a group of people outside, and we wind up, three of us, hey, we're going to go talk to these people who are out in front of this building. That's where we feel like the Spirit's leading us. And the Spirit led me to make a connection with a man named Will, and Will actually came the next day. You'll recall he was here. Okay? Will was here. And now this picture is a really cool update to the story. Last Sunday morning, I felt really moved by the Spirit after the service to go back over to the towers to see if I could connect with Will. I don't know where he lives. He doesn't have a phone, but I know who he is. And I just felt like the Spirit was leading me. And I'm not one to just kind of jump in my car and go somewhere because the Spirit led me, unless it's to Dairy Queen. So I go back over to the tower, and as I'm driving up with Pastor Vicky, guess who's riding up to the front door of that big tower where hundreds of people live on his bicycle? And I'm like, okay, God. Okay, Lord. So this is the second connection with Will. And I'm talking with Will, and we're at the front there, and there's another gentleman who's sitting on the bench, and his name is Don. And I get to know Don, too. And I'm Will, I missed you at church this morning. I wanted to take you out to lunch. And he was like, sorry, I missed you. I had to work. But I'll come back at some point in the future. That's fine. Will, how can I pray for you? And I prayed for Will. And the Lord checked me as I'm standing there. Don is sitting on the bench, and I'm like, hi, Don. Or I'm like, hi, I'm Joe. I pastor at Maplewood. I don't know this guy. Pastor Vicky's sitting in the car. And I meet Don. And Don, I'm like, Don, is there anything I can pray for you? He goes, I need transportation. I lost my insurance. I need transportation to work. I can't work if I can't get there. And he points to Will's bike. And Will had a new bike. And I don't know where Will got his bike, but it was new to him. I was like, well, you need a bike, Don? And Don's like, yeah. And I was like, Don, I've got a bike in my garage. Don. I'm going on vacation this week. I tell you what, you be here at noon today, and I'll bring you that bike. And I meant noon over at the apartments. We drove up this morning at 9 o'clock. Guess who was out here talking to Chuck and Dexter?
Don.
Don was here. And he's like, I really hope you brought that bike. And I was like, did you think I wouldn't bring that bike? The Lord has been talking to me about this bike all week, right? And so I give Don the bike, and he's thrilled. He's just blessed by it. And out here in the parking lot, probably 9:30, 9:45, I asked Don, how can I pray for you? You know, I didn't pound the gospel into his brain. I was like, dude, I appreciate you. I love you. I care about you. How can I pray for you? And he let me pray for him, you know? And I gave him some contact information. I gave him a bulletin. One of the best witness things you can do with people is give them a bulletin because it gives them the ability to contact us because our contact information's on there. He has a phone. I wound up getting his phone number. And as he's going, he's like, I can't stay for church. I got to work this morning. He goes, but I will come back. It's like, you do that. Planting seeds outside of my comfort zone. And I'm walking back into the church. I'm feeling really good about that. I told Ed about it. Just to kind of follow up on what's been going on with Revive Ohio. And I'm like, I'm just thinking in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, how am I going to reconnect with this guy? And I'm kind of even like getting set up for the service back there. How am I going to connect with this guy? Well, while I'm praying that, Sharon's in the parking lot. And Sharon gets out of her car, and she sees this bolt on the ground. She brings it in, she gives it to Chuck, and Chuck's like, hey, Pastor, I know where this bolt came from. And he's like, that guy's going to come back. And I'm like, Chuck, I sure hope so. This is my opportunity to call Don. The Spirit just opens the door. Having a spiritual conversation with this guy, praying with him, you know, and I started with Will, didn't have any plan. It winds up working with Don. Who knows where it'll go? But I'm telling you, friends, I'm just kind of like going with the flow here, following the Holy Spirit. You might think I'm a nut. Got a screw loose. I like that, Dexter. But what I'm finding as I'm willing to step outside of my comfort zone, God is growing my faith. God's getting me jazzed up. As I'm, you know, come on, you can do this too. God is calling us to do this. Am I willing to step outside of my comfort zone? Am I willing to step into the ambiguity? As I am, He will grow my faith, and God will amp up the power of the Holy Spirit that's already at work within me. And He wants to do that for you too. You just have to have the courage to jump into the ambiguity. Amber's here, so is the Holy Spirit. But in order for this to work, In order for this to really work, I think Paul gives us some advice in this passage this morning. He says we have to be rooted and established in love. We have to be rooted and established in the love of Jesus Christ. There are some prerequisites that have to be in place for this to work in our lives. Rooted and established in love. We have to be in our own personal lives planting deep roots. You know how much I prayed for Don this week and for Will? I'm just trusting God to make these connections happen. And I've got some of my friends that I made connections with that I'm communicating with, and they're praying too. Rooted and established in love, in prayer. We got to be rooted in prayer, friends. We have to be rooted in the Scriptures. If you're not in the Scriptures every day, you're selling yourself short. You're minimizing your ability to live in your full potential if you're not getting into God's Word a little bit every day. You don't need to read a whole book of the Bible. Some people say you need to do that. Boy, I tell you what, it's just like a little, you can get a piece of Scripture that can speak to you on a daily basis. You're just planting roots deep. Pray over that Scripture. Get in the Scriptures. We have to be praying and being in the Scriptures. And as we pray, we need to be honing our ability to hear the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because you can't go where the Spirit's leading if you're not listening for the voice of the Spirit. Amen. We've got to be rooted and established in love. We have to be making sure that as we're following the voice of the Spirit, we are acting out of other-centered love and not some sort of selfish, self-aggrandizing agenda. Paul says you have to be rooted and established in love. In order for this to work, he says we have to be rooted and established in love, and we must also not be playing Lone Ranger. He says, Paul prays that the church be empowered together. He says, hey, church, I don't want you to go out this and do it by yourself. I wasn't by myself. I was with four strangers in a Honda Ridgeline driving down South Burnett on a Saturday morning doing crazy stuff, following the leading of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't alone. I had my friends with me. And boy, wow, it really made it even easier knowing that they were in the Spirit too. He says, hey, go do it together with the saints. Be empowered together with all the saints. God is not going to call you out of your comfort zone all by yourself. Amen. So for you folks who are kind of sitting on the sidelines going, I don't know, Pastor, I'm scared. If you're scared, grab a friend. Grab a friend. Maybe they're scared too. Maybe you can hold hands and hold your nose and jump in together. Jesus said he would be there with us when two or three are gathered in his name. Rarely do we see in the Scriptures God sending out his followers all by themselves. There's a couple of rare exceptions, but most of the time they're all going together with somebody. And there's an unspoken helper in the background. You know, how do we get Philip's story in Acts chapter 8? Luke got it from somebody, right? We're supposed to go out together. God is not calling you to go into the dark, scary room all by yourself. He's going to give you a flashlight, the light of Jesus, and a friend to go together. He says, hey, be rooted and established in love and be empowered together with all the saints. And the third thing he says in this passage, in order for this to work, we have to be willing to go beyond what we know. We have to be willing to go beyond what we know. It means that God wants to surpass our knowledge. It's exactly what Paul prays for in this passage here. God wants to surpass our knowledge and our understanding. He wants to blow your mind if you will just be willing to follow the leading of his Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. It means being willing to follow the Spirit to the left when you want to go right. You hear that little voice? Remember, you got to be rooted and established in order to hear the voice. You know? It means going left when you wanted to go right. Paul prayed that the Ephesian church would come to know that this way of doing things surpasses knowledge. It surpasses earthly knowledge. It may not always make sense. Driving down South Burnett in a Ridgeline full of strangers on a Saturday morning did not make any sense to me. Never would have envisioned that. May not always make sense, may not always add up. But that's kind of the point of faith, isn't it? Come on. Oh, Pastor, I like it all in a nice little package. Don't make me get muddy. Don't make me get my hands dirty. It's the point of the point of faith is to take us places that surpass our human knowledge and our limitations. Amen. That's the point of faith. Are you ready to begin experimenting in what it looks like to be unleashed? What does it look like to be unleashed? I know it's scary. I know it can be really uncomfortable. But I also know that God has work to do. God has work for us to do in our community and in our circles of influence. And I think that God is reminding us this morning that complacency is the enemy of spiritual growth. When we get comfy cozy, that's bad. Danger signs. Apathy. Apathy drags our souls away from God, not towards Him. Apathy pulls us away. Comfort. We like comfort, don't we? Comfort's a drug. Comfort can be addicting, and it can stifle our spiritual growth. If we get too comfortable, if we get apathetic, we get too complacent, we are not living into our full potential. We are not going to be happy. We are not going to find the joy that we're seeking. We're not going to find the peace that we're craving. We're not going to find the meaning that we desire in our hearts if we just settle for what is in our lives. God is able to do more than we can think or imagine. The question is, do we have the faith to ask? The question is, do we have the faith to actually follow up when the Spirit directs us? And do we have the faith to believe that the Spirit will work in and through us? Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I think he leaves a great challenge out there. He says, live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. You've been called, church. You've been called. Live a life worthy of this calling. You know, as we wrap things up this morning, we look at the church in Ephesus that Paul was praying for in this passage. The church at Ephesus grew to be one of the strongest Christian churches in the first century. One of the strongest. It started in a community dominated by idol worship and grew to be one of the strongest churches. It actually became the hub for six other churches. It actually became a mother church to six other smaller churches. And over time, the Christian faith in Ephesus eclipsed the idol worship. The kingdom overcame the idol worship in Ephesus because these people were faithful. And over time, the impact of this church, can I blow your mind? The impact of this church is still being felt today. Those people are all dead, long gone, but their faithfulness, their obedience to allow the Lord to do what was unthinkable and unimaginable in their minds, I think it would blow their minds. I think they're probably rejoicing in heaven right now to know and understand that 2,000 years later, people are studying and living through the teachings that were taught to them by Paul, who founded their church originally in the book of Acts. God is still using the Ephesian church today to instruct His church today, 2,000 years later. I think that's incredible. Wouldn't that be incredible if 2,000 years later, Maplewood was being used as a model to teach, to instruct? That'd be awesome if that happened 10 years from now. That'd be hot. God wants to do more than we can think or imagine, Maplewood. Will you try it this week? This is a little homework assignment. I just want to give you a little homework assignment. Listen for the leading of the Spirit. Okay? This is not a hard assignment. Just do what I did. Get in a car with strangers and drive down South Burnett. No, don't do that. Be safe. Be smart. Listen for the leading of the Spirit. When the Spirit speaks, if you're planning to go right and the Spirit says, hey, right now I need you to go left, go left. The stuff you were going to do will take care of itself. Follow the leading of the Spirit. If you're scared, pick up a phone and call a friend. Ed, will you go with me? Will you go with me? The Spirit's really leading me. The Spirit's really leading. Will you go with me? And you don't have to do this alone. I'm serious. I'm serious about this now. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what your faith maturity level is. I want you to be open to this week. Listen for the Spirit. Drop what you're doing when the Spirit speaks. Grab a friend. Go out not to preach the gospel. Go out to listen. How are you doing? Make a connection. How can I pray for you? That's the key question at the end of the conversation. Not can I pray for you, but this is what they teach us at Revive Ohio. It's how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? And then pray for them. And if you can get contact information so you can follow up and continue to build that relationship, like my buddy Don, I have his bolt. I'm coming after you, Don. Heaven's coming after you. Be praying for Don this week. Okay? Who's your Don? What's the Spirit leading you to do? Not every opportunity is going to change the world. I'm just here to say, sometimes we're just planting seeds. Maybe this stuff that's going on with Will or Don, I might not ever see it. Planting seeds, maybe somebody else will harvest that in the future. May not change the world, but every time we're obedient like this and we follow the leading of the Spirit, may not change the world, but it changes us.
Right. Amen.
It changes, it just kind of cranks the spiritual crank, one more lever, and amps up the ability of the power of the Spirit that's already at work within us to work even more when we're obedient. Not every opportunity is going to change the world, but every time we're obedient, it could change you. Could change you from the inside out. Don't settle for being boring. Don't settle for the status quo, Maplewood. If we settle for the status quo, look at the group here. This is it. This is not what God, this is a great, wonderful group, and I love us all, but I think God wants us to do more. I think some of you have actually lived this and seen this through VBS and bringing the kids. You've seen the Spirit move. Just be obedient. Just be obedient. God, our Father, is able to do immeasurably more than all you ask or imagine according to His power that is already at work within you.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.